Dude, I don't know. I was going to do an intro to this in the classic how I used to do on the podcast. Hey, friends, this is Rob. Welcome to the... If you haven't been here before, I don't know. I felt myself slipping into the podcasting voice. But here's... I do want to intro this and tell you this. If you've been following along with this podcast, you've heard me say it before. I am a recovering people pleaser. And today I want to share with you one of the mindsets, this truth to life, this, maybe I'll put it this way, a strategy, a way I've learned to hold myself that has changed my life. It's changed musical interactions. It's changed personal interactions. It's changed the way if I, God forbid, ever have to audition for a band ever again in the future, it will change that. It changes the first time I ever play with someone, photo shoot someone. This is just one of the most meaningful life mindsets that I've ever implemented in my life. I feel like a ton of conversations all over social media, a ton of people I follow are talking about like, oh, I'm all of drinking is bad for you. I'm not drinking. And then you like, you know, everybody, nobody needs, like alcohol is completely bad for everybody. Total demonization of it. And to me, I'm like, alcohol has brought me a ton of joy in my life. I have a ton of friends. I find a ton of value in alcohol and I want to do whatever I can to, this sounds great, but I want to do anything in my power so that I can have a continued healthy relationship with alcohol. And I know you and I talk about that a lot. We find so much value in it. What are you doing?
I'm preparing these dried peppers for a red sauce.
In front of Sarah, she has a cutting board and she is emptying out these dried peppers. So there are just like these crazy hot pepper seeds.
Guajillo. Which is not too spicy, more smoky, and arbol chilies, which are spicy. And they will go and make an amazing Mexican smoky salsa.
Continue.
Okay. So as I was thinking about this relationship I have with alcohol that I want to still keep in check and be mindful of, but I am not an alcoholic. I was thinking about that with people pleasing and someone like you, you are not a people pleaser at all. You are self-actualized. You don't have the same propensity that I do. And so I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay, you know, my love of alcoholic beverages, is there is there like characteristics of someone that's not a people pleaser? Are there characteristics of a people pleaser that are actually really beneficial in life? Like, and so I was thinking about that with myself. I'm like, man, is there any like any of these characteristics within this that I feel like have actually benefited me?
Yeah.
And I know that sounds weird, but like one of them would be, you know, a hyper sensitivity and, or I would say a, like hyper empathy towards people. I can literally feel what other people are feeling. And I don't want to lose that. Mm-hmm. Is there any like characteristics that come to mind to you that you feel like you benefit from that someone who's struggles with that, like me?
Right.
The first one that came to mind, you already said.
Oh, come on. You can take credit. I can cut that out and just make it sound like you said.
that's right. People pleaser review, I guess. Yeah, I would say, the motivation is wrong, but again, caring about other people and sort of how they feel in situations, or how what you might do or say might affect them. 'Cause sometimes the traits that we're talking about that we want to work on are, when they're at their healthiest, good. It's just when they're left to run wild that they become problems.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, same. Well, no, that's same. Yeah, when it becomes wild, I like that. This is where this, I'm calling this episode Be the Buyer, Not the Seller. And this is where this massive change came in my life. Years back, I can't remember what book it was I was reading, but I was reading some self-development book, and in it they were talking about job interviews. And they were talking about the importance of you going into a job interview And not just looking at it as you're trying to sell yourself, that you are actually trying to, in your, I think this might have been something you said also at some point, but like your job in an interview is not just to sell yourself and get the job. Your job is to interview them as well to see if you're, they're a good fit for you and to see if you're a good fit for them.
I say that every single day to people, so.
You what?
I say that every single day to people, so yeah. It's a two-way street.
So now Sarah is washing her hands in the kitchen sink, and I'm really excited later after you like go to the bathroom or maybe touch your face for the first time.
That's why I wash my hands.
Did you wash your hands good enough?
Find out.
Tomorrow's episode on the podcast, Sarah finds out if she washed her hands good enough. It's okay. Yeah, so it is, there's something that happens not only, for me, I listen, I'm like, okay, I'm not applying for necessarily jobs, but I took that to heart with doing, why am I brain farting right now? When auditioning, if I were to audition for a band or an artist going in, I was like, okay, I'm going to make this decision right now to go in, and it just supercharges the entire, it totally, it's a subversive flipping of the script going in and going, whoa, I'm not just like desperate for this. Like it takes that like, desperation, I've heard, is a stinky perfume. And the second, even subconsciously, someone feels like you want something from them, even if something as small as you want them to like you or you're trying to convince. I feel like, who was it? It might have been Ram Dass that said that people can sense that on a subconscious level. There's almost like a magnetic force that pushes you away from them when they sense that you want something from them.
Well, I would also add to that. I'm going to get in the fridge. You're so close to me. I would add to that that while all of that is real, I also think when you go into something feeling like it's a two-way street, a conversation, you're vetting them out, I think it changes for you, the interviewer. Interviewee for yourself mentally. When I was interviewing, you know, 2.5 years ago, I was in a good spot. Like I was liking what I was doing, but I wanted to see what was out there. And so I just had never had better interviews before because I wasn't like, oh my God, I need this.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just going to see if this is the right thing for me.
Yeah.
And so just as my own self in the interview seat, like super helpful.
Yeah. And I noticed for me, like my emotional temperature and energy and how I like almost like I feel like I stood up a little bit straighter having this kind of mindset going to things. And even, you know,
You may have stood up straighter, but I slouched more.
Okay.
How I sat in the chair because I was like, this is just a conversation.
Okay. Yeah. I love that. I haven't had to audition for anything in a very long time. But I've played with a lot of people for the first time since then, and I feel like that has benefited. That's been the same thing when you are playing or when you're working with somebody for the very first time. It's still like there's something at least as a recovering people pleaser. Everyday interactions, you almost like perversely twist like these interactions you have with people day to day into like. Almost like your life is one constant interview. Like you're constantly trying to, like everybody I met, I have to prove them, like interviewing me as a friend. Like, are we a good fit as a friend?
That's
what can I do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is always feeling like they have to prove themselves. I'm guessing.
Yeah. So I could go on and on into this thought that I've heard, learned from you about interviewing and the importance of like you're doing yourself a disservice by just taking whatever. But I think this really, the reason I'm sharing this today is because I was on social media this week.
Whoopsie.
And now I'm doom scrolling. So at some point on my feed, because freaking nothing on my feed is any of the people I follow. I swear to God, the first thing on my Instagram feed is someone I'm following, but I didn't mean to follow somehow. Like, how am I following this person? And then the next 5 to 6 posts are either ads or suggestions for you. It's a shit show out there right now. But one of these things that pulled up as the suggested for you was, I hate these like influencer talks. But this one was really interesting where he was talking about just this being... He was talking about it, exactly this thought of walking into a room and living your life trying to sell something. And I thought it was a perfect tie-in with this.
Yeah.
So I stole the freaking title. Oops. Stole. Okay. I gotta be really careful to not reuse these bits. I can't remember who this guy is, but I'll put a link to him in the show notes below if you go to the website.
In your life, you are the buyer, not the seller. You're not here trying to sell yourself so that other people buy you and approve of you. That's the people pleaser approach. Like me, please, like me. Anyone like me, I'll just take it. Anyone wanna buy me? Trying to sell yourself. You're the buyer. This is me. This is who I am. And I'm going to say hi to people, put myself out there. But ultimately, I decide who I let into my life and into my reality. And if someone's not a good fit, no thank you. Not interested in buying that. And you have to be okay pushing away the wrong people to let in the right ones. Versus anyone. I'll just take it. Any approval?
Rob Morgan is an internationally touring bassist on a journey to discover what it means to live a curious life. At thecuriouspod.com, you'll find an archive of conversations recorded all over the world, a map of recording locations, a weekly newsletter, and official podcast merchandise. Rob is recording a daily podcast where he's sharing insights into the creative journey and the secrets to living a curious life that he's discovered from over a decade of traveling the world with music. We here at Curious Endeavors have told him this is probably a mistake and he's an idiot to attempt it, but he won't budge, so that's where we're currently at. We hope you'll enjoy.
Okay, wait. I'm editing this episode and I post it right away. Then I hear Sarah yelling from the kitchen. What did you just say?
My nose burns.
You touched your nose?
Yeah. Told it's you. Expected, okay?
Careful next time you're going to the bathroom. That
I don't
might really damage
my things. Fingers don't touch the skin down there. Remember?
Oh, never mind. That's just me.